This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
And we are live here on Pet Life Radio and Instagram. So we are here ready to talk pets. You're here live with Dr. Jeff Werber, your host the next 30 minutes here on Pet Life Radio's Ask the Vets with Dr. Jeff.
I'm waving to those of you that are joining on early, which is great. I'm very happy to see you guys. Having a great day, I hope. So anyway, how did weeks meet? Very easily. If you're here on Instagram, you're here, which is great. Just type away. Those of you at Pet Life Radio, you can join on the show. And your questions will be sent to me, or you personally can be on the show with your pets. And that's probably the best way to do it anyway. It's fun. So I just got back last night. I was at a conference in Long Beach. So it wasn't really that much of a thing. It was a drive away. But good morning, Steph. We're just talking about you, right? We're going back this week to Cabo. And so anyway, it was a smaller conference, but I was speaking on AI and the benefits of using it for medical records. And I started working with a phenomenal company called Scribble Vet. And for those of you that have seen me in the last, I don't know, month and a half, 2 months in the office, you know how great it is. I'm sure I could not hide my excitement. But, you know, typically what we see in veterinary medicine is that the average veterinarian, full-time veterinarian, works about 40. I mean, look, I'm about 60 hours a week, but they're like 48.7, if you want to get exact hours per week. And another 10 or 11 hours are spent every week just on writing up medical records. And we're talking about some insane things that the states need. California is one of the worst as far as what to do. What when you say your medical records, what does that mean? That means that everything to the detail. You can't just say, I put a catheter in. No, you have to say, I put a 22-gauge, 1.5 catheter in the right cephalic vein. I mean, really? You know, I was thinking these people that made up these rules never practiced, because if they did, they know that doesn't make a bit of difference. But anyway, they are so detailed. So veterinarians now are spending so much time on medical records. So I was approached by this company, Scribble Vet. Actually, they came to us because they wanted to know if they wanted to scribe for us on our air vet calls and put the air vet calls into a medical record. Because now in many states, we can use a remote conference and on telemedicine as a legitimate medical record. So the way it got to this guy reached out to me through my son, Brandon, and now they have me as their chief veterinary officer. So anyway, I was speaking and, you know, it's amazing how slow certain people in certain professions, specifically veterinary medicine, are to move. They do not embrace telemedicine, and they still don't. And that's why we're surpassing them. We're going straight to the clients. Of course, pet parents love it. Pet parents love the fact they can reach a veterinarian 24/7, answer their questions, probably can save money because they don't have to go to an emergency because it wasn't an emergency. And thanks, Stephanie. This is the same thing. In fact, there was a guy in the audience who happens to do what I do for one of our competitors. And I mean, there are only like four or five companies out there that are really notable. So I asked who's using electronic medical records, who's using remote or AI medical records in their practices. And of course, he raised his hand. I said, so do you like it? He goes, I love it. And any veterinarian, when you think about all the time we spend on medical records, they would love it. So anyway, we talk about all the benefits and you know the how it saves time, it streamlines it, it's great for the client, it's great for your staff, all of the above, right? So at the end of the talk, this is to show you how, I don't know, I can't say dumb, but how slow veterinarians are to react to change. I said to go, now that you know all these things and how great it is, and one of these companies are giving 1 or 2 months away for free. I mean, there's no reason not to try it. And I said, so how many people you think now that you heard others, myself, talk about the benefits and how great it is and how it streams your life, it saves you so much time. Only four hands went up. It's like, oh my God, you guys are so bad. So anyway, look, when they figure it out, it's going to be a lot more expensive. And so good for them. Anyway, let's get some wood. So what is the oldest dog I've treated? The oldest dogs I've treated probably was a 19-year-old little Chihuahua. And in fact, someone came in recently with a 17-year-old, 18-year-old dog. And they said, I hear he's going to live till 25. I said, no. Apparently, the oldest dog on record made it to like 30-something, 36. But I never would have somebody get a dog, I don't care what breed, and let them think for a second that, oh, they can live to 20. Does it happen? Yeah. I once took care of a cat that made it to 21. And I think the oldest cat was also 40 or something, a ridiculous number. But I would never expect myself or another vet to have a patient that hit a cat that hits 40. It would be unreal. And I don't think anybody would ever tell such a cat owner, oh yeah, you should get such a cat because they live to 40. I don't know. I remember when my last Labrador made it to 16 and a half on his 16th birthday. I did a post with him and I said, happy birthday. His name is Grover. A 16 years today, a milestone that very few Labradors on the planet will ever reach. And he made it 6 months after that, 16 and a half. Now, the oldest lab I've had before that was 13 and a half. In fact, my current Tommy is already 13. So might he make 14? I hope so, 15. But would I ever expect, I would never get a Labrador or any large breed and say, oh, no, I'm getting them because I heard they live to 14. No, you heard of one that lived to 14 or 15 or 16. It's not the norm. So, but the oldest dog I've treated was 18 and the oldest cat was 21. I'm 19 and the oldest cat was 21. I'd like to hear from you guys. How many of you, what was the oldest pet you ever had? How long did it live? And I think that's good. Now, let me see. Here's another one. Question. Do you have an opinion on dog longevity protocols that are being promoted? You know, there is a lot going on right now. And with all sorts of supplements, the truth is we're learning a lot. We're learning a lot about cancer. There are some brain foods that people are giving. There's the leap years, which I like, antioxidants, which obviously I take and I like. So there's a lot of talk. There's a lot of talk that there are medications, supplements out there that can do this. I haven't seen it in action yet, but then again, we just haven't used it long enough. So I'm all for it. As long as the quality of life is good, if you're going to have them live longer, but their dementia or other problems are just, their teeth are rotting out, they're demented, their muscles are weakening, their hearts are still going, their lungs are still going, the brain isn't going so much. Is that like, in other words, as long as they're still living and not just existing, then I'd be all for it. But I have not yet. So an opinion, I do like it, obviously, but as long as the quality of life can stay up with the length of life. And if that's not the case, then I have my questions. But hey, I'm all for it to continue to watch. AJB, person never lost a dog younger than 16. My shepherd was 16. 16 is great. So, I would say that shepherds giving to 16 is fantastic. And, you wonder, is it exercise? Is it diet? Is it mental stimulation? Or is it genetics? So maybe Levicky, you got lucky, because I've had many Labradors. I've had Labradors for 50, 60 years almost. And they they usually go at, I mean, my youngest was died on a weird accident. He was 9. But they go 11, 12. When Woody went to 13 and a half, I was thrilled. Now, Grover went to 16 and a half. And Tommy, well, we have to wait and see. I'm not rushing Tommy. He's doing great right now. He even gets up and down the stairs fine, can jump off of the bed. So he's doing all right. But he's 13, almost 13 and a half. I know. We all hope they live longer. I agree. Totally agree. Now, two cats got to age of 19. Yeah, no, that's, again, I had one that it got made it to 19. But no, again, it is these numbers are not the norm. So I wouldn't advocate. If somebody said to me, look, I want to get a pet, but I want it to at least live 20, I'd say, then I don't know if you're going to find one. A pet rock maybe, but you're not going to get a pet that someone's going to guarantee they're going to make it to 20. Might it? Yeah, it might. Good care, good diet, lots of attention, mental stimulation. Yeah, but a lot of this is genetics. Look, I mean, look how many people are like, I had a friend of mine's grandmother made it to 104, right? His mother, 101 or something. His aunt is still living, running around cricking. His mother's sister, who's 99. So obviously, there is definitely a genetic component to this. But it doesn't mean that if you don't take care of yourself, that you can't go earlier. So, okay. Yorkshire, 19 and a half. That's great. Healthy, then you see, when those things happen, then that is fantastic. So let's see. Leland Derry, the doctor with supplements, we walked. Yeah, that, exactly. So first of all, I have great supplements, by the way. I have, you know, antioxidant, I have joint health, I have Body Boost, which is a great multivitamin. I have Replenish, omega-3, omega-6, fatty acids. So again, we're trying, I'm doing my best to help you keep your pets healthy, help me keep my own pets healthy. But food is good. And again, as Vicky says here, walks, exercise, and not just physical stimulation, but mental stimulation. You got to give them a reason to want to get up, a reason to want to get out there and exercise. So, and which brings me to another point, obesity. Obesity is the number one nutritional disease affecting pets. And because of that, it causes a lot of health problems, increased incidence of cancer, joint muscle disease, increased incidence of diabetes, renal disease, heart disease. I mean, there are so many things that are brought on by obesity that it's very important that we keep our pets lean, well-exercised, and obviously appropriately well-fed. All right. My childhood, this is from JB. Janice, my childhood people lift 18. Our Zena is still going strong at 16. Of course, thank you so much. I don't know about the best vet, but I do, you know, appreciate it. And again, Zena's doing great. But, you know, it's very hard to predict. And as it is with people, how many times have you heard of someone who is, you know, advanced in age and doing great? Great. All of a sudden, you hear that they went to bed and didn't wake up. So there are so many factors involved that we just don't understand and we may never understand. And so we don't know how it works and how many conditions that we or our pets can have that can go undetected, even with blood tests. So when that blood clot literally drops somebody immediately within seconds, you've heard this. There was a story about a guy traveling back east on a plane with three of his friends. He was in the middle seat and he took a nap. And when the plane landed, they come and say, okay, time to get up. He was dead. Young guy in his 20s, early 30s. So how did that happen? No history, no anything. So again, they must have figured it must have been an embolism, a clot of something. But where? Why? So anyway, these are the concerns that we have is because we don't always know. Yes, training, anything in the brain, et cetera. Maybe I'm crazy, but I haven't always been a fanatic about picking up the food dish when the dog finishes or the cat's wet food and soak it in hot soapy water. I feel like many animals get bacteria. You know what, Hardwick Mom? I don't think anybody can argue with that. And, you know, it is a good thought. Think about it. Think about how many times animals clean the bowl, supposedly, and we pack it up and we wait till the next meal. I mean, personally, I don't wash the food, the bowls in between. Maybe I should start now. Sounds like a good idea. So, but it's one of those things that there are so many factors that we are unaware of and we don't know. And, you know, there's so many things out there about supplements you can take to help this, to help that, to help longevity. And I'm of the belief that if it's not going to hurt, you know, they say veterinarians are scientists. We need scientific proof. Well, that's great. But it might take 20 years to get that scientific proof. I'll give you a perfect example. A good friend of mine who is now retired, a cardiologist. And years and years ago, there was a lot of talk about an increasing vitamin E in diet to help prevent heart disease. But it was all, you know, the naturopaths, the holistic people. It wasn't science. It had not been proven to be science. And so he never really advocated it for his patients. And then there are a couple of scientific papers came out touting the benefits of vitamin E supplementation in certain clients, on certain patients under certain conditions. So I asked him, I said, so what do you think now that all these years that you chose not to, and now you see that even scientifically, there are some papers that are advocating. And he says, he goes, well, then those patients might be better off than my patients. But he was real, but you just don't know. And now apparently, I think there's some new studies that vitamin E in high quantities, we know it's fat soluble vitamin. So high quantities, no, it's not good in high quantities. But even for the heart, it really was, that's what happens when these scientific papers come out. Another scientific paper come out to disprove not so much the science, but the technique of how the test was run. And it's no longer, we don't believe it anymore. It's a bunch of BS. Anyway, don't go away. We'll be back right down to these short messages here on Pet Life Radio and Instagram Live. Those of you on Instagram Live, hang in there. As soon as I mute myself during the commercials, we can keep talking. Be back in a few minutes.
You know the expression, cats have nine lives. Well, what if you can give them one more? The Give Them 10 movement is on a mission to help give cats an extra life. How? With spay and neuter. Spaying or neutering your cat helps them live a longer, healthier life. And it helps control free-roaming cat populations, too. Learn more about the benefits of spay and neuter and meet Scooter, the neutered cat, at givethem10.org. That's givethem10.org.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Hi, we just talked back on here, Pet Life Radio. We're talking about any kind of tests that you could pick up yearly, say on a blood test. So I was mentioning that if it's a blood-borne cancer, like a leukemia, then yes, then you might pick that up on a blood test. But most often, when there is an organ that is affected by a cancer, you might see that organ, those values, liver values elevated, kidney values elevated, but it's not going to tell you why. Then you have to do your homework. Then you're going to do an ultrasound. You're going to do some sort of scan. You might see a mass. So it's very important to know that you can get a perfect blood test and still have something going on. I mean, look at someone with pancreatic cancer. They can get checked and they're totally fine. And early on, there's no symptoms. And by the time you got symptoms, it's usually too late. So in fact, I have a friend of mine who I play basketball with, who did have pancreatic cancer. He went in for something totally different, and they were did a CT scan. I think it was a CT possibly, to look for that problem they thought was something other, right? And then they happened to see a little something on the pancreas. So then they further investigated that. Sure enough, it was pancreatic cancer, but they got it so early because it was way before even clinical signs. It was just, he was so lucky that he went in for something totally different and they had to do a scan and they find pancreatic cancer or pancreatic mass. Anyway, he went to the Whipple procedure and he is now, I mean, he beat it. I mean, he's doing great. So, but don't count on that. Those are the lucky ones. So, but I think it's good to check yearly for blood work. You may not see a cancer, but it will give you some information about the white cells, the red cells, platelets, bone marrow. It will give you information about the organ function or terribly a dysfunction. And then you can further investigate those organs, those areas that are seeming to be a problem. Is it just age? Is it a liver disease? Is it a liver mass? What is going on? Thyroid, for example. Thyroid cancer. I do the thyroid cancer surgery, removing thyroid glands. And I mean, it's pretty tricky. But what I do first is I do a thyroid test, including in what's called the T4 by ED. It's a free T4 by ED. That will tell me, if whatever it is functional, almost like a cat who is hyperthyroid. They have a mass, you can palpate it. But we don't remove those anymore. We used to, back in my day when I started practicing, there was no radioactive iodine. There was no scintillography. There was no way to identify. So we used to remove it. And now with the scintillography, where we can actually get a scan of the thyroid, And at radioactive iodine 131, that some of these dogs even that have thyroid masses can be controlled with just medication, just the I-131. So it's really fascinating. So before I just cut on a dog, we do that test first to make sure that if it's functional, if it's not functional, then most likely it's a bad tumor, and then we go in and remove it. All right. More. You're a Yankee. How you doing? Mac Toomey. What do you recommend on how to clean the water and food bowls? So, I mean, first of all, it's a good idea. You can just use mild soap, or if you want, you can get like a Novasan rinse. Now, Novasan is chlorhexidine. If ever any of you have ever had surgery, like I know I did this when I had my shoulder surgery, that they give you this, they tell you to buy it, or they sometimes give you a little container, and they want you to bathe with that the day of the surgery, that morning, take a shower with that soap, because it's antibacterial. So that wouldn't be a bad idea to just do that. But they say that a lot of the dish soaps, like the mild ones, are also okay. But if you can get a chlorhexidine soap or rinse, I have something called Fur Flush, which is just a rinse, and you can rinse the bowls, just dry them off, and then you get ready for the next meal. But I do like that idea. I really do. Oral health is key. Healthy heart. Exactly. So as Dr. Laura is stating, and that's why we advocate dentals. When someone says, oh, it's just his teeth, or let me tell you something, besides the fact that when dogs get endocarditis, bacterial endocarditis, or the kidney disease called glomerulonephritis, the bacteria that are cultured from those heart valves or the kidneys originated in the mouth. So that is why oral health is so critical, and it's very important. But another thing is, we just talked about how some dogs don't show their disease, and cats even worse. But when cats, by the time a cat gets sick, they're usually pretty sick because they don't show it. And that's one thing with oral health. Well, my cat's eating fine, but these teeth are, the breath smells, but that's okay because, you know, I don't want to anesthetize him. I say, no, you need to anesthetize him. And one of the comments that I hear so frequently when it comes to convincing an owner to go ahead and let us anesthetize, let us do the teeth, is we hear after the teeth are cleaned, the bad teeth are extracted. Okay, they're put on antibiotics. They'll call and they'll say like 2 weeks later, oh my God, he's like a puppy again. You gave me back my puppy. What does that tell you? It tells you that they may not have exhibited signs of illness, but their real personalities were suppressed because of the oral pain. So when you clean that up, you fix it, they just blossom. So don't, when your veterinarian is trying to teach you the importance of oral care, it's not just so he can get the money for a dental. Trust me. It is because it's really what's best for your pet. And that is our job. Our job is to provide the care, prevent animal suffering, and do what's best for your pets. All right. My recommendations for older dogs for mental stimulation, not a big toy player. Well, first of all, it is very, very challenging sometimes to get them to get up and move and work and play. But it is important also, there are some supplements out there now. And again, I have nothing to do with them. I do like them. I do recommend them. I would wish to have their formulation and me to come up with one of my products. It's called Leap Years. And Leap Years is really, it's good brain food. And the science is there. It boosts the body's NAD+. And I was so impressed with the science, I'm sure I've told you this, that I now take something called Nuagen, true Nuagen, which is or true Niagen, and it is a NAD booster, and it helps the body create more of this NAD, nucleotide ribonucleoside. I don't know what the science is, but it really does seem to help, and the science is there. So that might be one thing you can do. It keeps them more mentally alert. It takes a while. It's not overnight, and it keeps their brains more active. They more animated. They seem to have a little more pep in their step. So I am a big fan of medications like that, supplements like that, and I highly recommend it. So look into Leap Years. Shannon, of course, I'm fostering a Vanderpump dog, 2-year-old pug, hip fracture. He got FHO surgery a week ago, started to stand up on his own, obviously to help him up, but how much walking? So it is very important after an FHO, femoral head osteotomy, to keep that, you don't want that joint to freeze. The goal is with FHO they're going to form a false joint. And so, I mean, you don't want to overdo it, but don't baby them too much. Let them go slow. They will do what they feel comfortable doing, but the motion is important. So, you know, as I said, don't take them out and start running them, but get them on walks, slow walks. And if he wants to use it, let him. If he wants to be three-legged, let him. But as he feels more comfortable, as he feels more pain-free, he will start to put weight on it and to move it and use it. And that's what helps form that false joint that we need to make this surgery a success. Jessica, join. Hello. Can you feed a dog the same food their entire life? Well, that's a good question to ask the dog. It depends on the food. Some foods specify life stage. As they get older, they want you to switch to something that maybe has a little bit more digestible, a little less fat, a little less carbs, because they know that this is because of less activity, these dogs tend to gain weight. And so they need energy. They need good, high-quality protein. So these are scientifically formulated for different life stages. Other foods are, say, there for all life stages. So it all depends really on the dog. If you have such a food that the dog continues to do well on, continues to eat, that's the most important thing to me. That the food is, of course, AFCO certified, AAFCO, and it's convenient for you to buy, then don't change. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Now, but if you have a life stage diet that was really meant for a puppy and then for an adult and now for senior, I feed my dogs life stage. So my four medium-sized small dogs are on adult, and my senior 13 and a half year old Labrador is on senior. So, my main criteria is of course the quality of the food, but if they don't eat it, so if this dog stops eating it, then you look for something else. And maybe you look for something that's more senior related, but the short answer is it depends on the food and your dog's own choices of what he or she wants to eat. David Gold, my dog has allergies and she's constantly going and her feet only. Anything I can do to help her stop, even anything topical to put on her feet. Okay, so here's one thing about dog allergies and paws. It appears that dogs that are going after their feet might have food allergy. And whereas fleas usually manifest by the rump above the base of the tail, atopy, which is inhaled allergens, usually on the belly, abdomen, sometimes ears, and also could be on the back, and the caudal thighs, the backs of the legs, the insides of the legs. When it comes to food, the three things that we often ask clients, feet, ears, and rubbing their face, like they may walk around the carpet and rub their face against the wall, those are signs of food allergy. So what I would recommend is slowly trying to shift to a novel protein, single antigen diet. What does that mean? That is a food that only has one protein, and that one protein is novel, is new. Something that the dog has probably never seen, like venison, salmon, tilapia, cod, bison, duck, kangaroo. Alligator is one out there now. So rabbit. There are so many proteins that your dog has probably never seen before. What you want to avoid are probably two or three of the most commonly used proteins. Poultry, chicken, turkey, and meat, beef. So if you can look for something other and gradually switch them onto that food, see if that helps solve the problem. The next choice, if that doesn't, and we still think there's a high likelihood of a food problem, then I would recommend getting some HP food, hydrolyzed protein. And then finally, there's only one out there that I know of, and that's the Hill's ZD Ultra, Zebra D Ultra. Oh, by the way, zebra meat would be another good one too. And ZD Ultra is, they take the protein fragments, they break it down into little amino acids. So they're getting all the byproducts that you need to build up the body's proteins, but they're not eating whole proteins. They're already broken down. So there's less allergenic toxicity possibility. So those are the things you need to think about and try it. Do the switch slowly over time and see if that works. I mean, also, while you're doing it, I would still consider things like Cytopoint, Apoquil, even if you need to, corticosteroids, but talk to your veterinarian. I'm more a fan of the Cytopoint or the Apoquil, but diet modification. How can you tell if your dog is cold and needs a sweater to walk? California. Well, if the dog is a real wuss, no, I'm just kidding. a little wuss dog. No, interestingly, the smaller breeds have a higher surface body area in relation to their weight. So when you see that little Chihuahua or that Doxy wearing the sweater, don't laugh. Probably is, they're cold and they shiver and they're uncomfortable. They may not want to go outside. They'll shiver and shake. Sometimes they'll even chatter their teeth. So it's okay. If you want to put them in a sweater, it's okay. Put them on a sweater. If you want it just because you like the looks or you like the comments you get from people out there, that's okay too. But remember, when you get back in the house, take it off. So the proteins that seem the ones that are highest are, as I said, beef and poultry. Victoria, hello, Todd, how you doing? I'm concerned about her kidney. So, here we go. Doctor, I have a cat with kidney stones. I'm giving her urinary dry food, but she shares the house with my other cat, so I had to give my other cat urinary food as well. Yes, it's okay. If the other cat's eating it and seems fine, that's not a problem. Of course, you can feed them separately if you have to. But with a kidney stone, yeah, you want to try to dissolve. There are different types of urinary foods. There's a urinary food for bladder, and a kidney diet, when the problem is not the kidney disease, but a kidney stone, then you want to use the urinary bladder stone type disease to try to dissolve the stone. And you want to get at least small enough to fit through. Dissolving is best. And it's very rare to see cats with kidney stones. We do see them. There's also, if need be, a surgeon can do a surgery to remove the kidney stone. And it depends if it's causing a lot of problem for the cat. So if the cat is otherwise doing fine and is eating a urinary SO or a CD diet, then let him eat it and monitor the stone. Every month or so, go in and recheck with ultrasound or an x-ray if it is a radio opaque stone, meaning you can see on an x-ray, and see is it changing in size. If it really is not moving at all and it's not changing in size, you may want to talk to your veterinarian and consider a surgery to remove the stone if need be. Or sometimes they can go up and lithotripsy, where they vibrate the stone, and they're using that. They use that a lot in human medicine. And I believe there's some places, teaching hospitals, that may be doing it for in veterinary medicine as well. What is the safe toothpaste? Great. So there are a number of toothpaste on the market for pets. They're non-sludging. They're often enzymatic. They have a taste to it. You can get beef, you can get poultry, you can get fish, you can get shrimp. So for cats, they like the poultry or the shrimp. Dogs usually like the beef or the poultry. And the key is that when I recommend that you start brushing a pet's teeth, you do it slowly with just your finger, rub it into their teeth from behind. I showed this a couple of weeks ago. You have the dog on your lap facing away from you, and you're coming from the back and just touching both sides for 5 seconds. Good boy, good girl. Give her a treat and off your lap, let him go. So the whole idea is you want to start slow, make it fun, always positive reinforcement, and that's the best way to do it. And they usually will start tolerating it pretty well. All right. Dog is their anal glands done to the fears. Yeah, sometimes that's probably stress, Vicky. Hardwick, since I switched to carnivore venison, my dog has stopped itching. Poops are perfect. Yeah, I mean, if she likes it, there's no reason to stop. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. As long as it's AFCO certified for whatever life stage, stay with it. Now, one thing I'll warn you, when dogs exhibit food allergy, the reason why we do a novel protein is because their body hasn't had time to react to it yet. Keyword yet. So you can have them on long enough, 6, 8, 10 months, and then they may start getting allergic to that protein as well. Just hate to give you the bad news, just so you know, but you should have at least 6 months of leeway. Hello, Debbie. Cox, hello, hello. All right. So guys, I didn't hear the brand. Can you repeat it? Of the toothpaste, there's no one brand. There's so many out there. CET has one. Vetiquinol has it too. A lot of them have it. Just look for the key, the non-sudging. If it's a pet toothpaste, most likely it is all those things. Enzymatic, non-sudging, and flavored. All right. Okay, guys. I'm getting dirty looks from Mark, our producer. It's time to say goodbye. So anyway, Thank you so much for joining me here on Pet Life Radio on Instagram Live. Again, during the week, if you need to get a hold of me, remember I have a short week this week because I'm off to Cabo on Thursday to celebrate my birthday weekend. My birthday is next week, next Saturday. And not too thrilled about it, but it is what it is. I wish I could say, oh yeah, I'm turning 70. I'm happy as could be. I'm not. But anyway, I'm trying to battle the odds about what it means to be that age. So anyway, I will see you guys next Sunday from Cabo. Live from Cabo is going to be Dr. Jeff. And if you have any questions during the week, you can always get a hold of me. Send it to me here on Instagram on Pet Life Radio. Dr. Jeff on PetLifeRadio.com. Instagram, you know it, on Orbs_DVM. If you just put in Dr. Jeff Orbs, tell your friends to join. We want to make sure that they know that they can get free advice, get their questions answered. Doesn't cost them a dime. And yes, I plan, Vicky, to embrace aging because I have no other choice. All right, guys. See you next week and have a wonderful week. Bye-bye.
Let's Talk Pets every week on demand only on PetLifeRadio.com.